When anyone says the word homeschool, what's the first thing that pops into your mind? And what's the first thing that pops into most people's mind is probably books, curriculum, and all of the things that are associated with that. But have you ever thought that underneath it all, the foundation and the thing that helps our family to function well and to work well together and to help our children grow in diligence and perseverance when it comes to their curriculum that you've chosen is something called habits? Yes, that is underneath it all. And today, I was so blessed to be able to sit down with Sonia Schaefer from Simply Charlotte Mason. Yes, the Sonia Schaefer. It was just, she's amazing. She's as amazing as you would even think. And she's just so sweet and has such a heart for helping moms with their families. And so today, you are going to walk away after listening to this episode, feeling encouraged to take your family and your homeschool just to an entirely new level. She's going to give you a stepped up on how to implement habits in your home, and she's going to tell you all about the growth that you will see. Stick around. I know that this episode is going to encourage you. Welcome to Little by Little Homeschool Podcast, where you'll learn tips and strategies that will empower you to home educate your children. I'm Lee Nguyen, a homeschool mom of over 12 years, which includes two graduates. When I started homeschooling, I was pretty much on my own and was desperate for encouragement and help. My mission is to be a source of encouragement and help to you. Whether you are just beginning your homeschool journey or you're deep into the homeschool lifestyle, Little by Little Homeschool wants to help you stay the course, because all the time you are investing into your children is completely worth it. If you're ready to take your homeschool to new levels, keep listening. Welcome to today's podcast episode, and I am so blessed here to be sitting here with Sonia Schaefer, and I am excited about this topic we're going to dive into. So welcome to the podcast, Sonia.
Thank you, Lee.
Can you start off just telling us a little bit about yourself? I'm familiar with you, and we've just been chatting a little bit too, so I'm familiar with what you share when it comes to homeschooling. But for the listener who maybe isn't familiar with you, can you share a little bit about yourself?
Certainly. I homeschooled my four girls all the way through. My oldest is now in her early 30s, and then my youngest is 25. She has special needs, and so we still are homeschooling because she loves it so much. And so I'm still in the trenches doing the homeschool thing. We used the Charlotte Mason method all the way through with them, and I teamed up with a friend of mine who also used the Charlotte Mason method to create a resource to help other people. We call it Simply Charlotte Mason. And it was basically, Lee, it's a hobby that got out of control. We wanted to create resources and help people learn about the Charlotte Mason method just in our spare time, you know, as we were going along, create the resources or have somebody create them, the ones that we wish we had had when we were homeschooling. And it just kind of took off from there. And now it's a full-time job for many people.
Well, let me tell you that from those at homeschool, we appreciate that it's a hobby that got out of control, because it's been a blessing. I remember coming across, it might have been possibly your website or a blog maybe first, because I wasn't even listening to podcasts at that time. I don't even know if I knew what a podcast was, but just really being encouraged by what you shared. So thank you. Thank you for letting that and following that and providing resources. And I love that you said that providing resources for that you wish that you had when you were homeschooling. And that's kind of what I feel like too, and why I share, because I didn't have many resources, because back, I mean, you started homeschooling way before me. There wasn't a lot of people talking about it. And so I love that you got together with a friend and also kind of saw the Charlotte Mason method, and you guys jived and have, you know, produced so much information. So today we're going to talk about, go ahead.
Well, we've produced more than just information. Yeah. I mean, her oldest son married my second daughter, so we produced grandchildren, you know.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing.
So it's been a lot of fun. But yeah, back when I started homeschooling, we didn't even have the internet. So I'll let that sink in. Yeah.
I know. I mean, I think it's, I did, but not really. It was like a computer that took like 10 minutes to like warm up, and yeah, I would just turn it on. Yeah. Turn on the, yeah. Oh yeah. Like the dialing up to send the email and stuff. Pretty much. Yeah. So whatever you could find at the library, and the libraries didn't have a lot of information either.
Not
so
no, yeah, no. But it's nice to have so much available today, but it can also be a bit overwhelming for people who are just starting today because there is so much available. So we like to keep things as simple as possible.
Yes. And I've been a recipient of you keeping things simple and just really to the point and keeping a focus on homeschooling, not just education. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit here today about, talking about having some really good days through some good habits. So can you start off and tell us, why are habits so important in a homeschool?
Oh, I mean, just think about a typical morning. It could be complete chaos. And when you finally reel everybody in and get them in their places to get started, you are so frazzled and they are thinking about 20 other things and you can't find this particular book that you need. And where's that pencil I needed? And then the dog comes running through the middle and the pile of laundry sitting over. I mean, if you think of the opposite of good habits, that picture can be so overwhelming. And we don't need all of that extra burden, all of those extra distractions. Homeschooling is hard enough when things are going smoothly. So good habits are what can make your days become smooth and easy. Those are the two words that Charlotte Mason used to describe a home where these good habits were in place. And good habits can cover a lot of things. Often we think about, well, brush your teeth, comb your hair. Those are the good habits. But they can be those things, you know, make your bed, pick up your clothes. But you can also help your children form habits in obeying promptly, can become a habit. Speaking kindly is a habit you can work on. Being grateful instead of complaining, that can be a habit you can work on. And so many of the habits that Charlotte Mason talked about were actually character traits, what we would call character traits, thankfulness, diligence, cleanliness, orderliness. All of those things contribute to a smooth and easy day in your home.
That's a very good point of it. We think of habit because sometimes people are like, well, how do you define habit? But that's saying character traits, and that's really what it is. And having all of those, I'm just speaking from my own experience, it made such a huge difference when the emphasis wasn't just always on getting the math problems correct, when it was the character behind, why are we crying? Why are we throwing a fit about it? And then also the contention maybe between mom and child during that time, and how can we, what can we teach and work in their heart more so than just knowing their additions facts?
Yes, because we are educating the whole person. We are not just trying to dump facts into their minds. We have been given the assignment by God to shape who they are becoming as people. That's what education really is. And good habits are a huge part of that.
Right. Can you explain a little bit more about the characters and the habits being connected? How do we practically connect those two things in our day? And what does that look like?
Well, if you think about it, good habits form good character. Your character is formed by your habits. If you know someone who is diligent, they have a character trait of being diligent. It's because they are diligent habitually, not just every once in a while. And the same goes for someone who is courteous. It's because they have a habit of being courteous that you see that as a character trait in their lives. So these habits that we want to work on with our children and with ourselves are character traits, really. And those character traits are going to be formed by these good habits we are putting into place. Does that make sense?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I like that you point out for us too.
Yeah, character, habits, it's all part of being alive. All of us can improve and in our habits and in our character our entire lives. And I think it's another area where we can grow alongside our children and show them that we are continuing to learn and grow in many areas of life, just as they are. We can encourage each other as we go along.
That's an important point, because we don't often think, when we start homeschooling, the fact that we're going to be with our kids 24/7. Most of us went to public school and our parents loved us, but we only saw them in short bits. In the evening, we get home from school in the afternoon, and you have maybe homework and then running to activities, and maybe there's church stuff going on, and in the morning real quick with the rush. And so we never really saw our parents as much as our kids see us. And I felt like my life, my character became on display for my kids. And not only was motherhood sanctifying, but I think adding the homeschooling was an extra dose of
doubly sanctifying.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yes, it can be very intimidating when you think about spending 24/7 with your children, and that they will get to know you so much better than anyone else. And that includes your faults. And you're going to have that little mirror. If you don't know what your faults are, look at your kids. You're going to see your own faults in them shining right back at you. And that will alert you to some areas that you all need to work on. But as you said, we don't have to look at those things in a negative way. We can look at them as opportunities to be sanctified, to become more like our Lord and Savior. And we can thank Him for revealing to us, here's another area in which you can grow to be more like Christ. So let's work on that. It's a blessing. Although I have to admit, I have plenty of bad mommy trophies on my mental shelf. And my husband often has to talk me out of the tree sometimes when I go off the deep end. It's like, I'm such a bad mommy. I can't believe this. It's too easy to go that route. So I appreciate what you said about using it as an opportunity, looking at it with realistic yet grace-filled eyes, as we see that area that we can all work on in the family.
There's an extending of grace to our kids, and then they learn to extend grace to us as well. And I've never apologized to, maybe besides marriage, to anybody else more than I have to my children, because of maybe getting angry or taking things out of context. And it's very humbling. And I think there's something to them seeing that you, as the parent, because little children especially put their kids, their parents, I mean, up on a pedestal and think that they're perfect. And my kids are all now teens, and the youngest is now coming to realize that we're not perfect. And
they know.
I know. And he's like, okay, I thought maybe they had things together more than they really did. You know, they really get, right? They really get to see. And, you know, and so they've been talking about how, like, well, we thought you guys never sinned, and, you know, we were really little and we thought that everything was perfect. And as we get older, like, oh, I'm like, yeah, you know, and we just, that's why I apologize to you a lot. And that's why I still apologize to you, because I'm not perfect. But I think that the benefit is, with the homeschooling and so much time, my kids know me so much better than I knew my mom. Now I know her so much better now after I finished school and I got married, and we really bonded and formed a good friendship at that point. But I feel like my kids, I tread lightly on this being friends, because there's still that parent part, but I feel like they listen and respect me, hopefully my wisdom a little bit more, because I know them so well. Do you see that in a lot of families with that homeschool?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And it starts with the parent being willing to admit when we have a habit we need to work on, when we have failed in something. And how we handle our mistakes can be powerful lessons for our children, much more than always trying to look like we are perfect. So I think learning how to handle mistakes and be resilient about it, seeking forgiveness and moving on, and learning how to resolve conflict biblically, those are huge life lessons that are not just frosting on the cake. Those are foundations to our homeschools.
I think it really gives them a lead up, maybe, of knowing how to deal with relationships and deal with whether they move out and have roommates or go to college and have roommates and eventually have a spouse or and working places, they learn how to deal with conflicts because we're at home and there's going to be conflicts. So how do we go about instilling these good habits in our children?
Well, there's basically two things that are necessary to instill a good habit. Let me just start with a big overarching thing, that the main principles. One is repetition. And that's because that's how God has made our brains. It's fascinating when you read about how he made our brains. There are neurons in the brain. And every time you perform a certain action, certain neurons will fire in a path. And the more often you perform that same action, the more that path is run in those neurons until it becomes engraved, as it were, in your brain. And that's when it becomes a habit. You just do it. We say we do it without thinking, because God made our brains that way as a blessing to us. Otherwise, we would have to sit and think about how to do stuff every day. We probably do 85% of our day by habit. Well, you know, we brush our teeth while we're thinking about what are the kids doing? I don't hear them, you know? So the repetition is what is needed in order to get those habits instilled in our brains, get those neuron paths ingrained. But then the other thing that's needed is motivation. Because we can know, even as adults, we can know we should work on this particular habit, but we just don't really want to put forth the effort right now. Thanks anyway. So those are the two main things that are needed to help our children form habits. Do you want me to walk you through specifically, like step one, step two?
Yes,
okay.
Please.
So those are the two overarching things. Here's how you actually do this and put it into practice. Number one, choose one habit. Now that sounds easy, but it's not. Because usually a lot of us have a list of about 10 or 20 that we want to work on now, and we want to see results tomorrow. But you want to choose one habit focus, and it can be one of those character traits. It can be, I want to focus on the habit of cleanliness. Okay, that's going to be our focus. Now, decide how you want to apply that one. Because cleanliness can be applied in many different areas of life. So you can choose one habit that the whole family is going to work on together to make it easy on yourself. Maybe it is, we are all going to clear our places after a meal, to clear the dirty dishes from our place and put them on the kitchen counter after every meal. And that's something we're all going to work on, that habit together. Or you could take that cleanliness focus and apply it to different children, depending on their age or ability levels. One child might work on brushing his teeth. Maybe a younger one working on getting a habit of brushing his teeth. One of your older ones might work on a habit of doing the dishes. That's a cleanliness habit. Another one might work on the habit of every Saturday or every other Saturday, changing the sheets on her bed. So different habits that are related to cleanliness, you can either all choose one to do together, or you can have one for each child, depending on their age level. But it helps to do it all under that one umbrella of cleanliness or orderliness or whatever the character trait is, because it's so much easier to remember. And remembering it over these weeks that you're going to be working on it is going to be a key. So that's the first thing. Choose your one habit and then customize it. How is each child going to apply this habit? What do I want to look like? What do I want this habit to look like when we are done working on it? Now, let me interject something here. How long do we have to work on this habit to make it get instilled in our neuron path? I get asked that question a lot. Do you have any guesses, Lee?
I would think it would depend. There'd be a lot of factors. I would say it would, just from raising my own kids, I would say it would depend upon the children and their personality and how resistant they are to maybe the cleanliness, if that's what it is. But there's probably a scientific number too you're going to give me.
Yeah, there's a scientific number. And what's fascinating to me is that Charlotte Mason nailed this 100 years ago before they had all of the brain research going on. But it was to get that neuron path ingrained and up and running, it takes 6 to 8 weeks. So you can round it to 2 months. You're going to work on that one habit for 2 months. And it will get easier as you go through the 2 months because that neuron path will get established. So you're picking the one habit, you're going to customize it. Then the second step should be, I think, a given, but let's go ahead and say it. Show and tell the children what it is you want them to do. You know, what is this habit they're working on? Yes, sometimes they don't meet our expectations because they are childish or they choose a foolish thing. Yes, sometimes it is from childishness, but sometimes it's because our expectations were not made clear to them. So if you are expecting, for example, this child to change the sheets on his bed, then you need to walk through that with him and make sure he knows exactly how to do it and exactly what you are expecting and where do the dirty sheets go when he takes them off and what parts does he take off and what does he put on and, you know, all of those things. So build that into your 8 weeks. It might take some kids several weeks to get all of those parts of the change the sheets habit figured out. Or maybe with some kids, you're just going to take part of it and you're going to work on that for 8 weeks. I remember when my kids were younger, we started with take the sheets off the bed because it's a whole lot easier than wrestling that fitted sheet over that mattress. You know what I mean? Oh,
yeah, so, I know. I did the same exact thing. I was like, you take them off because they could destroy the bed and that would be fine. And then yes, I'll do the rest. And then
I can celebrate with them. Good for you. You took the sheets off, you know. Then later we came back around and worked on when they were older and had more muscle strength and were able to wrestle with that huge mattress. Then we worked on putting the sheets on. So you're customizing that. But show and tell the children what it is you are expecting during these 8 weeks, what it is you want to see. Then the next thing is to set up reminders. Set it up for yourself because you know life happens. And when you start thinking about math and language arts and history and geography and Bible and science, it's easy for habits to get pushed to the side. So if it's a habit that you are going to be working on during school lessons, jot it on the margin of your lesson plans every day so you remember what you're working on. If it's the habit of attention, we're working on attention during school lessons. If it is, let's say you're doing a habit of scripture memory during your breakfast time together, grab that scripture memory box and set it smack in the middle of your kitchen table so you have a visual, obvious reminder. That's what's going to help you get it going because you're forming a neuron path in your own mind of we're working on this habit, we're working on this habit. So a visual reminder, an obvious reminder, set a reminder on your phone if it's set to a certain time that this habit needs to happen. Put a reminder on there. Any kind of reminder that will help you remember what habits you're working on under that one character focus, that's going to be a good thing. But then you also want to help your children set up reminders if they are old enough. Now, preschoolers, you're going to be their reminder for most of that 8 weeks. Or you can use a little visual with our... We have a preschool program. It's a little monthly subscription box, and it has a chore chart that comes with it with beautiful little pictures of kids doing different chores. These are habits that we want the kids to work on. So you put the picture on the little chart of what habits you want that child to do that morning. And as they do them, they can take the picture off. That's the little ones' reminders. But your older ones, let them come up with their own reminders. What you don't want is for you to be their reminder indefinitely. because then they haven't formed the habit. You've formed it, they haven't. If you are constantly, shall we use the word nagging? That is not them forming a habit. So help them decide. Some kids might make a chart for themselves. Some kids might write it on a calendar. Some kids might create a wall of colored sticky notes. You know, let them get into it with their own personality, but help them come up with their own reminders to do this habit during those 8 weeks. And then once you've got the habit chosen and they know what the expectations are and they've chosen the reminders, all you have to do is practice it. Just practice it for those 8 weeks and try and keep the streak going. You know, if you forget one day, pick it up the next day. Don't just write it off and say, well, we blew that, never mind. No, just pick it up the next day and keep going from there. You have lots of times that you can start over if you need to. The fatal thing is to give up and quit altogether. And during those 8 weeks, I would also encourage you to give your children motivation. And the most, the most powerful motivation is going to be from within. It's not going to be bribes or stickers or competitions. Those are extrinsic. And once those extrinsic prizes go away, that habit probably will fade also. What you want is a motivation from inside. And so you want to encourage them. You want to have an expectant attitude that I know this is hard, but I know you can do this. That's what you want to convey to them. You also want to encourage them with living ideas, with examples, which can be found in literature, you know, good books. It can be found in good poems, quotable quotes, you know, those very succinct quotes that are very inspiring, scripture passages, family activities, things like that. And a hat tip to Linnea Gore, she put together a huge book of those inspiring ideas called Laying Down the Rails for Children. It's called Laying Down the Rails because habits are like railroad tracks. Once you get them laid down, you just run on them smoothly. So Laying Down the Rails for Children is just a treasure trove full of those inspiring ideas. And you don't have to do that every day. You don't want to beat the kids over the head with it. You're going to practice it every day as often as possible. But then get them together maybe once a week, twice a week, during those 8 weeks you're working on that habit, and read one of those stories or poems or talk about one of those scripture passages, things like that, to motivate them from within. Then the last thing you can do is at the end of the 8 weeks, in order to keep yourself motivated, track the growth that you have seen. You know, you can get a little, if you like a journal, do a journal. If you're a spreadsheet person, do a spreadsheet, whatever you want to do. But write down, this is what we worked on. And here's the growth that I saw. Don't focus on the gap. You know, we didn't reach perfection. We didn't make it all the way to what I was hoping. But focus on where have we come from? How much growth have I seen? This is especially important for those of us working with special needs kids. A lot of times you don't know what the goal should be. You don't know how far they're going to be able to get in these next 8 weeks. So it's just, let's take this next step and see how far we get. So you've got to go back and think about where you started from in order to thank the Lord for that growth that you've seen, rather than get discouraged at what didn't happen. We are grateful for what did happen. And that tracking that growth can be a time of celebration at the end of those 8 weeks. And then just pick another character focus, a different one, and go again. Just go through the same things again. It can sound like a huge thing, but I tell you, Lee, okay, are you ready to do some math?
We'll see.
Let me.
Is it hard?
Pull out your calculator.
Okay.
Okay. All right. If you can instill one new habit, good habit, in 2 months, how many good habits could you instill in a year?
Six.
Very good.
All right.
And so here's the follow-up question. Would your home be any different if your kids had 6 new good habits instilled during this next year? This time next year, your home could look different. It could be smoother and easier. Just one at a time, being faithful.
Those steps are really good because we feel sometimes as moms, we need to tackle everything. And we need to tackle all of the habits, and we need to tackle everything within the habits. So I love that you said, just even focusing on the cleanliness, maybe it's not everything. And it's also looking at their ages. And so the little preschooler, yes, let's take off our dirty clothing and put it into the laundry basket would be a big, that's a great habit to instill. But then you have a teenager, you're like, well, you can clean up after dinner and wash all the dishes and get the pots and pans. And it just looks different. Whereas that teenager started off learning as a preschooler just to put the clothing into the laundry basket. And that was a huge win. And how I just remember revisiting these habits over and over again. And it just was in a different way. And you just saying, how many can you do in this year? Just 6. That's a huge jump. That's an exponential jump that you could make. And I think as moms, we think we have to do everything, but just tiny little things and how much each of these really affects their hearts. And we want them to be motivated themselves eventually is the goal as they move on. So
because we continue to form new habits as adults. And so we want to just get that habit of forming habits instilled. I'll tell you one thing. A businessman wrote this or mentioned it on his podcast, and it really stuck with me. He wasn't talking about habits, but to me, it applies to habits so much. He said, most people take one step in 20 directions rather than 20 steps in one direction. And when we talk about we want to do all of these habits all at once, that's one step in 20 directions. But if you choose one habit and go after it for 8 weeks, you're going to see 20 steps in one direction. You'll see a bigger difference.
That's a great application from somebody who is talking about it in one area and then applying it to habits. So before we close here, do you have any closing encouragement that you want to share with the homeschool moms that are listening?
Yeah, I know when you think about habits, it's like, oh, here's one more thing I've got to do. And it can be really daunting to think about it. And it's easy to postpone it and say, okay, not now. Once I get my ducks in a row, we'll start working on good habits. And I hear you. I can sympathize. I have been there. I know exactly what you're talking about. But let me just remind you of something, that the Lord made our brains to form habits automatically. And the question then is not, is my child forming habits? The question is, which habits is my child forming? Because they are forming habits. And if we are not intentional about instilling the good habits, those bad habits just get in there. They take root of their own accord, and that makes our job twice as hard. So I encourage you, just choose one, just one. Don't take 20 directions. Just choose one. Pray about it. Talk to your spouse about it. Talk to your good friend about it. Choose one and just try it out for 8 weeks and see what growth you see.
Sonia, where can the listener hear more from you, get more information about Simply Charlotte Mason, and continue to be encouraged by you for the habits and with everything that you share? Where can we send them?
You can go to my website at simplycharlottemason.com. We have a weekly podcast that you can find. You can go to our YouTube channel, Simply Charlotte Mason, and that has our weekly podcast. We have a lot of videos up there about habits already. I'm also speaking at a lot of homeschool conventions, so you can check those in your area. Yeah, and we're on Facebook and Instagram. We're all over the place, really.
So we'll send them to all the places, wherever you like to be. And so obviously listening to podcasts. So the easiest, most natural would be to hop over to your podcast. But I will put links for that and for everything into the show notes. But thank you for joining us today, Sonia.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Is your mind swirling with ideas right now? While Sonia was speaking, did you think about some specific areas that your child or maybe your entire family really needs to focus on? I really hope so. I would love to know what really stuck out to you in this conversation that I had with Sonia. You can go ahead and let me know, but even more so, check out the link in the show notes. Go check out Sonia's podcast because you're here on a podcast, like I said. So obviously you enjoy podcasts and want to listen to her. But I will put all of the links in the show notes and so that you can continue to be encouraged by her. But if you want to let me know too, I would love to know how this episode has impacted you and your family. So go for it. Pick that one habit and see what a difference 2 months will make. Thank you for listening, friend. I'd love to connect with you more. You can find social media links in the show notes and share this episode with a friend who could use a boost to her homeschool. See you back here real soon.